Want more stories in your life without adding to your TBR? That's where Audible comes in. I use it for the original novellas, the Plus catalog like Gianna Rayburn's Veronica Speedwell series, and those audiobook sales that you can beat. Right now, Audible has a special offer for new and returning members. Click the link in the show notes to see what deal you'll get and start listening today. Welcome to the Retro Next Podcast. Today's guests, Zakiya and Jamal, and today we'll talk about her two debut novels. She debuted earlier this year, a YA rom-com, If We Were a Movie. This is a sapphic romance set on Long Island. It's just like a fun place to just land if you're looking for coming-of-age stories and first loves. This is a book to read. If you're looking for an adult romance, a little bit more spicy, then you want to go to Sparks Fly, which comes out next month. And it's just like a fun trope that takes a virgin trope and late bloomer into going to a sex club to looking for her first partner. I love this book so, so much. So I really hope you enjoy this. Make sure to pre-order it. In this interview, Zakiya talks about her writing process. We talk about book packagers and how that actually comes about when it comes to writing. We talk about her book recommendations. She got some great recommendations for you to pick up. So yeah. And oh, if you love K-dramas, we talk about telenovelas and Turkish novelas. So everything in between. So I hope you enjoyed this episode.
Hi, Zakiya. Welcome to the What's Your Next Podcast.
Hi. Nice to be here.
Sorry. So excited to have you here. So tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yeah. So hi, I'm Zakiya. I am an author. My first novel, If We Were a Movie, which is a YA novel, came out in April. And my adult debut, Sparks Fly, comes out in December.
Oh my gosh. Oh, so we got to talk about this idea of like releasing two adult debuts in the same year, different genres, different groups. But still, like, how did it happen? Like, that's the first thing first.
So If We Were a Movie was a young adult novel. So that was, I worked on it with what's called a book packager. Essentially what that they kind of have like the idea for the book and then they hire someone, in this case me, to write the book. So that was kind of happening, but then at the same time I was writing my own stuff. So like kind of in the middle of me writing If We Were a Movie, I got an agent and she really liked what I had for what eventually would become Sparks Fly. At the time it was something totally different, so she was like, let's work on that. So we worked on that together, and If We Were a Movie sold first, and then Sparks Fly sold, I want to say, like, a few months later, maybe 6 months later. And I think originally, If We Were a Movie was actually supposed to come out fall of last year, but it ended up coming out this year. And then, obviously, Sparks Fly is coming out fall of this year, so it just ended up that they were in the same year.
That's exciting. Okay, we got to start with book packagers, and I have so many questions, because I grew up in a healthy dosage of Babysitter's Club, Sweet Valley High, and an ID. So it is our Lord year 2020 something, and this is our version of those books in some ways, where we get authors to actually write the story, pack it, like put it together. So there's a lot of questions about it. Like, it's fascinating. So I want to hear from your experience what it's like. Explain a little bit more about the process, because our listeners may not be familiar with it, but it is part of, it's actually like a thriving area.
Yeah.
Publishing industry.
So basically for me, my journey was I had a friend of mine, a former coworker who was working at this book packager, and she reached out to me because she knew I like had gone to grad school for writing. She knew I was trying to write a book. And so she was like, would you be interested in writing something for us? And I was like, sure, why not? Like, I hadn't had an agent yet. I hadn't started any of that process yet. So I was, maybe this is my step to getting published. So I had to basically audition, which was submitting a writing sample to them of just something that I had been working on. And then from there, they're like, okay, this is great. These are some book ideas that we have. Do any of these sound like something you can write? And so the first couple they sent, I was like, I think maybe I could do it, but it's not really something I'm like excited about. And so then they gave me what would eventually become If We Were a Movie. I think we originally had it titled like, would you like popcorn with that? Something like that, of that nature. And so they basically provided me with like an outline of what the book would be. So like a general kind of plot summary, some characters, but then they're kind of like, make it your own, basically. So originally, when they first presented it to me, it was actually a straight romance. So it was between a girl and a boy. And I was like, no, I think it should be gay. And so I was like, I think we should make it sapphic. I think she would have a girlfriend. And they were totally down with that. So that was kind of the first big change that I made to it. And then I kind of just made it my own. Like, I grew up on Long Island, so I studied online on Long Island and all that kind of stuff. But yeah, so I basically worked with them to write like the first third of the book. Like, I would write 25 pages. They would edit them back and forth until they felt good about it. And then the packager works with an agency. And so the agency then took the book out, the proposal. So basically the first third of the book that I wrote, along with like what the rest of the book would be. And they took it out to publishers and they sold it that way. And then once it sold, the process is kind of the same as anybody else in publishing from there. But yeah, so that was kind of the short version, I guess.
That is so interesting. As somebody who's like, I'm so grateful for this podcast, as I've talked to ghostwriters, I've talked to people who have done all different types of things in the book industry. And this is one of those areas where we don't know that information and we make assumptions, but the reality is like, it's fascinating, especially as a, like, as a, someone who wants to dip into chose writing, this is a great way to get an idea what it looks like, get some guidance if you're not sure. And I think it's, in some ways, it's like, I love the fact it's an upgraded ghostwritten, like, quote unquote, like a outline of like what it used to be. With make it sapphic, make it set in Lawyerland, set in your place. So the author actually has some more flexible, like more autonomy than just handing it down an outline and write it. What it used to be like back in the 90s. So I love this. And I think in some ways this is giving you like new authors opportunity to write and provide their voices. And so, yeah. Awesome. All right. So let's talk about your adult debut, which is very exciting because you turn the virgin trope upside down.
Yeah.
Top two of a sex law. And so it's like, oh my gosh, she's not like the pure, like, oh my gosh, I don't know anything. It's like she has autonomy. It's very sex positive, which is very exciting. So talk to us about like the process of like coming up with this story and how to convey it in this year where we're moving towards very Christian nationalism and all of those tropes of traditional, whatever traditional crap that they want to say, but in turn it into like, it's not just virginity is just part of it. It's just not something that you need to, you can be sex positive too.
Yeah. For me, I read a lot of romance. It's like pretty much all I read most of the time. And so I think the virgin trope is a very popular trope, and it's typically the woman who's a virgin, and it's usually like a male-female relationship, and it's like, she's so innocent, she's so pure, she's never even had an orgasm before. And then this guy who's like sleeping around and has like, he's like a player, but like he finds her and now he's like ready to settle down with like this one lady and like teach her about sex, basically.
Yes.
And I am a late bloomer myself, and I was like, and I know a lot of late bloomers, like a lot of my friends are late bloomers. And I was like, we talk about sex. Like, we may not be having sex, but we talk about sex.
Yeah.
And it's not like this taboo thing for us. Like, we're not like, oh my God, can't talk about that. That's not like, it's just that it's like, people are late bloomers for a number of reasons. Like, sometimes it is tied to religion, but a lot of times it's just like, you haven't met the right person. It's not like, and it might be some, it could be a number of reasons. And so I wanted to write a late bloomer who knows what she wants and knows what she's looking for and like has had an orgasm before. And it just hasn't happened with a person. And so going into that, that was always like part of the plot. Like, the book has changed over time, but that general idea has always been the foundation of the story for me. And then it kind of built from there. Like, I was trying to figure out who would be the person that she would be like, okay, I will lose my virginity to this person. So I kind of built Max, her love interest, from there. But yeah, so that's kind of where it stemmed from.
Yeah, well, I love the idea. Like, think about late bloomers, it's not just religion. A lot of shows is just dating scene. The Lord, yeah. 2025. It is not the same. It's not the same. I'm in my 40s, so I've seen it all. This is not Sex in the City. This is not like you go in a bar and talk to someone. Social interactions were different, were limited. It's just like, and so even just having sex, it's like, yeah, like, you don't want to do it. Like, it's sometimes like you want to get it over with, or you just want to just find the right person. And so you kind of have to deal with like a lot of people, they're not so good. So I love this idea of like having her having autonomy and having and like having an orgasm and like not feeling like a shame around it. That space, like, you know, that just nothing, it's just, it's a late bloomer. And it's a very taking that trope that you don't need to have the magic pain to do, give you an orgasm right away. For the first time, the awakening. Like, you can also have that awakening too.
Exactly.
Awesome. All right. So did you plot it out or did you pants it? Because I know you had an outline for the first book, for but I'm assuming you have other books written in the back. Are you, like, were you a plotter or pantser?
Yeah, so I'm typically a pantser. However, so when I first started writing What Would Become Sparks Fly, I was just pantsing it. Like, I didn't have a plot line or anything like that. I was just had a general idea. I was writing it. But with my agent, because she had come to me, actually, like, she slid into my DMs and was like, hey, are you writing anything? And so at the time, I hadn't finished What Would Eventually Be Sparks Fly. So she had me write out like a plot summary or a plot outline of like what I thought the book would be, which was very hard for me because I do not do that. So that was kind of the first time I really did that. But so now I kind of do, like, especially now that I'm like under contract, I have to like write what my book is going to be about. Otherwise they're like, we're not going to let you write that. So I've become more of a plotter, but originally I'm definitely more of a pantser. And I still like, my plots are very much just like a suggestion. Like, I go off my plot almost all the time. Like, it usually doesn't stick.
So what does it feel like now that you're under contract, which is a little bit different because you have deadlines, you're accountable to other people while the writing process in the back. And maybe you went to grad school for writing, so you probably have a similar perspective. But how does it feel like now being on the other side of under contract? Like, is it much more stressful or is it more like, or is it helps you kind of like just set the focus and like, this is what I gotta do?
It helps me for sure. Like, I love a deadline, which I'm sure other authors are like, are you okay? No, like, I genuinely like knowing that I'm working towards something, because like, if I'm just like, I just want to write a book or whatever, like, I'll be like, well, I have time, like, I can do something else, like, I can, like, it's easier for me to procrastinate, whereas like, when I have a deadline, it's like, okay, we have to like lock it. Like, because we actually, like, we need to, like, people are looking for this book. Like, it's a real thing. Versus, like, if it's just me, like, I'm like, well, I'm only accountable to me and, like, me don't care. So, yeah. So, definitely, I like the structure of being on deadline. I'm sure, like, I'm still very early in it. So, this is, like, really my first time being on deadline, because If We Were a Movie and Sparks Fly kind of happened at the same time. I didn't really have that experience. So, now, as I'm writing my next book, is the first time I'm really, like, feeling it. So my feelings might change. Right now, I like it. So,
all right. And then what's your favorite part? Is it drafting, plotting, or editing?
Definitely editing. I'm drafting right now and I hate it. I'm looking forward to being done with this first draft. I'm like inching towards the finish line. I very much enjoy revising more. Like, I like being able to go back into a draft and like knowing what I need to fix. Like, right now, drafting for me, it just feels like I'm throwing spaghetti at the wall. Like, even with the plot outline, I'm like, none of this makes sense. So I love being revising, because it's like, now I have something that I can work with and like, I know how to fix it. Yeah.
I love this. And so what's your favorite self-care activity to keep you during all this time? I've been asking, actually, I used to ask this question in 2020, and I feel like I need to bring it back in 2025 because we're still in hell.
Yes, no, very much so. I feel like it's worth
it. It really is. I think there's an alternate timeline that we just that happened, that we're just
we're in the bad timeline, we're in the bad place for sure.
So we're saying it's
I think for me, it's really watching TV. I'm a huge fan of K-dramas, which I slip into the book. I slip into all my books at this point. All my books, I have two. But I love K-dramas. I feel like the episodes are so long. And like, I'm the type of person that I'm like, I'm not getting up until I finish the episode. So it forces me to like lock in for like an hour.
Yeah.
And it's also just, it's so separate from like American culture, that is a very nice way for me to like step outside of what's going on. I think here, like, a whole nother country, they speak in a different language. It's like, it's nice over there. And so, yes, I love K-dramas. And then also just like sitcoms. Like I'm currently rewatching Friends again for like the bajillionth time. I love New Girl, Living Single, like all those, How I Met Your Mother, all those shows that are just like 30 minutes of like nonsense. I love those. So yeah, really like TV, because I also work in publishing. So I just like, unfortunately, reading has been too tied up in both of my jobs. So watching TV is like a nice little break for my brain.
I love this. All right. So I suggest you watch Turkish dramas. I'm a Turkish girl. So I love Turkish. They're all on Netflix and stuff like that. They're great. They're just like enough that we have a recap show. But it's kind of like the same escape room. You're like in this beautiful setting. You're like finding these people, like trying to figure out what's going on. Like high drama and like none of us. But then I grew up in a healthy dose. So I grew up in Puerto Rico. So most of my childhood was telenovelas. That's from Mexico.
Yes, that's exactly. Okay. So I too, because I'm Cuban, my grandma loved telenovelas. She also had the little novella books as well.
Yeah.
For like a dollar at the bodega. And
yeah.
Like, I literally, like, when I talk about watching K-dramas, I'll be like, oh, yeah, like, I just have to watch my stories.
Yes, it's like exactly the same one. Like, I have another author from your publisher. She's from Venezuela. And I was like, I told the publicist, I was like, I grew up watching Venevisión. Like, all the novelas for the 80s and 90s were Venezuela or Mexico. Like, it didn't, and there was no in between. You just do. And now they're actually in Latin America. They're exporting Turkish dramas. And my mom got into it. And now we're just watching. But yeah. It's just like a nice little escape from other worlds and like the drama and the specific things. And sometimes you have subtitles. You actually have to like look and listen.
Exactly. You have to lock in. Like, you can't be scrolling your phone. Yeah. You have to, like, actually watch, which I think is perfect. Yeah.
Yes. It's a great mindful activity. So, okay. So let's focus on book ruminations. What kind of books do you tend to recommend our listeners to pick up?
I mean, like I said, I read mostly romance. I feel like that's what I am often recommending. So, yeah, I mean, mainly romance, but I also, because I do so much romance and I also work on a lot of romance novels, I am also trying to, like, read outside romance. So, like, right now I'm listening to The Scammer by Tiffany D. Jackson, which is, like, set at this, like, fictional HBCU that's very similar to Howard University. And basically, this group of girls, it's like four of them, they are like sweet mates. And one of the girls' brother, like, moves in with them. And he's like a very sketchy dude. And so I'm only at the beginning, but I'm already like red flags, red flags. So I'm very scared for the girlies. I don't know what this man is about to do to them, but I'm very frightened. But yeah, so every so often I will try to dip out of romance. I could read something different. So that's what I'm doing right now. But like, I also just read Mate by Allie Hazelwood, which I absolutely loved. I'm very new to the like werewolf romance genre, but anything Ali Hazelwood writes, I will read. So,
yes, I love these recommendations. and you're gonna tell me if someone dies in this camera, because that's actually my fear.
I'm like bracing myself as I read it. I'm like, this is gonna go so bad. This is gonna go way left. So I'm like, I'm already like, oh boy. But I'm very early on, and so who knows what's going to happen.
Yeah, because I love a good scamming story, but I like the white-collar crime, not the murder crime. Although I do love cozy mysteries, but I feel like cozies, yes, there's a murder, but it's like not the person you care about and stuff like that. But it's a weird thing. Zakiya, tell us what you found online.
Oh, yeah. So you can find me pretty much on all the social platforms at Zakiya N, like Nancy, Jamal. So it's just my name. And I have the same username all the places. So
awesome. Thank you so much for being in the show.
Yeah, of course. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for listening to The What to Read Next. For more book lists, cozy reads, and library tips, visit thewhattoreadnextblog.com. Your next great read might be waiting there. Are you an author, publisher, or book-related business looking to reach passionate readers? What to Read Next podcast is a perfect place to connect with an engaged audience of romance and mystery lovers who are always on the hunt for their next great read. Now, we're offering sponsorship opportunities. Whether you're launching a new book, promoting an upcoming release, showcasing a bookish product or services, we can help you get the word out. Let's work together to bring your books or businesses to readers who are ready to discover something new. Please visit whattoreadnextblog.com/sponsorships to learn more or reach out to chat about the perfect sponsorship or package for you. Thank you much for listening. Your next great greeter is waiting for you.